wonder how many of you could say you've personally spent some time in that field of grace. If you've been saved any time, you know exactly what that song is meaning. Amen? I was thinking while they were singing, though, oftentimes I have seen people find that field of grace, in other words, that part where Christ said, come apart and rest for a while, and they find themselves in that place, and it said that in the song, I could stay till healing came. Doesn't mean I'm supposed to go there and never come out. Amen. Let me say that again. Ain't got nothing to do with the message tonight, but it doesn't mean we're supposed to go to that field of grace and never come out. Amen. That field of grace is a time to heal, a time to have our wounds healed up and lick our wounds and regain our strength. Why? That we might leave that field and go serve Him again. Amen. I know some people who have chosen to live in the field of grace. Amen. Psalms 133 tonight. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why I'm preaching this message. I woke up with it on my mind yesterday and tried to shake it a little bit. And I've kind of preached a little bit these last couple of weeks on forgiveness. And for some reason, I don't know, the Lord's not letting me leave that thought. I don't know what it is. I haven't heard any gossip. I don't know if somebody ain't getting along. I don't know if husbands and wives are chewing each other's heads off before they get to church because y'all fake it so good. Amen. Y'all can be having a knockdown drag out in the car and get out. Hey, preacher, how you doing? I can't tell. You may be about ready to kill one another. So I don't know who this is for. It may be preventative medicine, something you want to file away and to help you on a bad day because you're going to have a bad day. Psalms 133, I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible said, behold, how, say the next word with me, good and how what? Pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. He said it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about what a blessing unity is. What a blessing it is when God's people get along. 26 years ago, this coming New Year's Eve, as we have our watch night service together, as we have a watch night service, I'll be celebrating a birthday. Me and my wife will be 27 years old spiritually. 27 years ago this New Year's Eve, the most wonderful thing that could ever happen in the life of a human being happened in our lives that night. As we pulled up in the driveway of Brother Jay Bice and got him out of bed and got saved right there in his front yard. I said, it is a wonderful thing when you come to know Christ as your Savior. Somebody has said that salvation is instantaneous, and it is. I didn't get saved a little bit here and a little bit there. It's like going down to the hospital. We just got our new grandbaby, Miss Caroline, and we didn't get a head one day and a body the next day and arms tomorrow, and the feet will be in the mail next month. Well, we got the whole baby, amen. We got the whole baby, but she ain't all together there. She can't talk, can't say nothing. Y'all listening? She's whole. She's a whole person. She's got all her fingers, all her toes. Everything she was supposed to come with, she came with. She can't walk a lick. She can't even feed herself. She can't clean herself up. Why? She's a baby. Now, you know what she's got to do? She's got to grow. That's the most exciting thing about being a parent or a grandparent is watching those babies grow. Hearing them say those first words, seeing them take those first steps. I remember, I was thinking about Sarah today. I remember watching Sarah, Brother Freddie, and Miss Shelley's little one when she was a baby. She didn't crawl, she scooted. She just scooted on the rear end, pulled herself. I mean, she could fly, couldn't she? I mean, she just go whoop, 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 whoop. She was gone. But it was such a thrill to watch those babies grow and how differently some of them grow. Amen. I mean, it's an exciting thing. I cannot wait. I'm sure Caroline's first word will be Papa. I felt something on that. I believe that'd be God's will. Amen. But I'm excited to watch her grow.
But as if months goes by and nothing changes, she's going to the doctor. Why? Because something's wrong. We have spiritual Christians that are the same way. They got saved, but they've never grown. They're still bottle babies. Amen. Somebody said, why don't you preach something deep every now and then? Because you couldn't get out of it. Amen. You can't handle what you're getting. You're not doing anything with, and this is not a scolding message, but there's a part of me that's chapped a little bit tonight. Amen. I mean, we give it and 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 we give it, but then there is no change in the attitude of the believer. Amen. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, it's time we grow up a little bit. Listen, man, when we got saved, it was a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Listen, my sins were forgiven. Gone. Everything I ever did. Did you know the majority of the sins I committed as a teenager, I did in the house of God? I grew up, come on, help me, Greg. We grew up in church. We was there every time the doors was open. If we got in a fight, it was at church. Amen. I have bought dope on the church pew from him. No, his brother. Amen. I mean, seriously, when I think about my sins being gone, whoo, I mean, it just about makes me want to jump up and down and pitch a stinking fit, brother, because that is a big thing when God forgave you of all your sins, but yet you don't focus on that. My sins were forgiven. I was justified. Somebody broke that word down and said it means just if I'd never sinned. Hallelujah. I was redeemed. I was repurchased. I was bought back to the love of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. My name was written in heaven. Wow. I had the peace of God that passes all understanding dumped down in my soul, every bit of it, automatically, instantaneously. I said, it's good to be saved. Some of y'all don't think about that enough. That's what's wrong with you. You're majoring on a minor. You're straining at gnats, but you're swallowing camels. If you knew your Bible, you know what I was talking about. Amen. Salvation is the major thing, wouldn't you say? I'd say that's the biggest thing in my life. I'd say it's bigger than my marriage. I'd say it's bigger than my church. I'm talking about, here I am, a child of God. But not only that, when I got saved, God put me into the greatest family in the world, the family of God. Amen. I love the family of God. I've got family members, just I tell y'all all the time, this is our immediate family. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together is the manner of some here. Are you listening? This is my immediate family. But sometimes I get to go and spend some time with my distant relatives over in Kentucky. Amen. Y'all sort of understand what I'm saying? I got brothers and sisters here, but I got brothers and sisters there too. I mean, it's a great big family. Ashley and them sang a couple of Sundays ago on Family Day, my father has a great big family. And there are many children besides me. Many, many, many of God's children. Big family. And I'd just like to say tonight, regardless of what the crowd on the outside pointing in is saying, it's a good family. It's a good family. Is it without problems? No, because it's got people in it. Amen. Our spiritual family's got trouble simply because it's got people walking around in a body of flesh, just like your physical family's got problems. It's family members you don't even want to see coming down the road. Amen. Why? They people. If you'd quit focusing on their problem instead of that's your family. Well, what about, is it true that your sister did? Yes, shut up. Hey, none of your business. She's my sister. Y'all all right? If we'd focus on the right thing instead of the wrong thing, but the devil has an ability to take one little thing that's wrong and magnify that in your mind and magnify that in your heart, that before long you're not only just gossiping and mad, you're not right with God. over something little, something major can happen. We band together. We lift each other up. We hold each other. Serious stuff we deal with. It's that little junk. It's that little junk. I don't know. Maybe somebody had a knockdown drag out on the phone today. I don't know. But God said preach this tonight. It is a shame to me that we get so wonderfully saved. All happens just like that. Spend the rest of your life trying to figure it out. Brother Freddie, you figured it out yet? Me neither. And guess what? You ain't going to either. I just know it's wonderful. Get injected or adopted into the greatest family on the face of the earth. Matter of fact, it's the only eternal living family on God's planet. Amen. Hallelujah, it's a great family. But then you get in that family and you stay in that family a while and you think, what in the world's wrong with my family? Why come my family can't even sit in church together without fussing? It's a sad day in the booger man's house when a bunch of drunks down at Cowboys get along better than the children of God down at the house of God. Them old drunks get in a fight, 10 minutes later, I love you, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. Y'all ain't been there. I have. I love you, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I busted your jaw, man. Oh, it's all right. Don't worry. I mean, brother, you let somebody write one little sentence about you on Facebook and they're damned to hell for eternity. Amen. Y'all okay? We need to grow up a little bit and realize that we're all fallible and we all make mistakes and we're going to disappoint each other and we're going to let one another down, and by the grace of God that is in us, find forgiveness in our heart and not let the root of bitterness set in. Amen. Hey, I know I'm preaching to me. Sometimes it takes a load of grace to deal with some people. Some people, I'd literally like to put my hands around their neck and just squeeze till their eyes go boing. Amen. How many of y'all got a teenage boy? Thank God Levi got through it. Amen. He still got both his eyeballs. Amen. Sometimes I'd like to take church members, and I know this is against the rules, but sometimes I'd like to say, hey, can I see you in my office? Scourge them with a cat of nine tails. Sometimes we just ought to be whooped. Somebody say amen right there. Sometimes we ought to just have our little tails tore up. You say, wait a minute, I'm an adult. Well, you don't always act like an adult. If you act three, why can't we treat you three? That's good preaching, Brother Eddie. Amen. Amen. I want to help you tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter number 5. I want to help you to figure out how to get along with God's family. And this is something you might ought to be working on. Look up in here. You are going to spend eternity with me. I think God has a sense of humor. I believe He does. I believe your mansion's going to be right next door to that sister you can't stand. Amen. I had one man in our church was a, I don't know what you call it, a racist, bigot, something. I told him, I said, you know who you're going to live next door to in heaven? He said, who? I said, the blackest brother there. Going to be your neighbor forever. Amen. Y'all okay? Hey, we might as well figure out how to live with each other. Listen, I cannot divorce you. Are y'all okay? You cannot divorce me. Oh, we'll get mad and go to another church. That's just a band-aid. It ain't a fix. First thing you see when you get to glory gonna be my smiling face. You can't get away from your family. You're stuck with them. Amen. You ever felt like you just stuck with a family member? Well, I'm stuck with you, and you're stuck with me. Amen. So we ought to learn how to get along. Amen. And I believe the Bible's got the answer. I believe the Bible has the answer that you and I can dwell together peaceably. How good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. The world ain't never going to get along. But it's sad when they do it better than we do. Amen. That bunch of liberals, they'll go hug a tree and get over it. Amen. But me and you got the devil to fight. They don't. James chapter 5, verse number 16. Watch this. James chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another. Well, there's a new concept, isn't it? Let me back up and say that again. Confess your faults one to another. I wonder if that'd be a good idea. I wonder if it'd be a good idea just to go say, Brother Atkins, I'm sorry, I messed up, I let you down. I had to make an apology today. I had to apologize to one of our men. He asked me about something several weeks ago. He asked during fellowship. And by the way, if you ask me something during fellowship, don't count on it getting done. If I ain't got time to stop, get a calendar out, write it down, it just ain't happening. And I totally forgot about something. I said, man, I'm sorry. He said, well, it's okay. No, it ain't okay. I told you I'd do something. I absolutely forgot it. Every now and then, we'll just confess our faults to one another. If you've offended me, don't go apologize to Rusty. Come tell me. Amen. You reckon you've ever hurt anybody's feeling? You reckon sometimes you do it and don't even know it? Sometimes you do it, somebody will take something you said, and all the way home, the devil will take that sentence or that statement and twist that thing around in the mind of the brother or sister that you've been talking to, and by the time they get home, they're so mad they can't see straight, and you ain't even got a clue. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 16. He said, confess your faults one to another. Watch this. Here's another new concept. And pray for what? And pray one for another. Well, there's a good idea. Number one on how to get along with God's family, how to get along with each other, pray for each other. I ain't talking about like Casey said, God, I pray you'd do everything on this sheet. That don't take long. God are done, man. I mean, pray for one another. Pray for one another. I remember when I was a little boy, there was a show that came on. This will tell my age, but how many remember the show Romper Room? Romper Room. It was like a little kindergarten class, and they had little activities, and they played, and every day the teacher had a magic mirror. And it was just a circle, had nothing in it. And she'd say, I see Eddie. And I went, oh, she saw me, she saw me. She'd go naming all these little kids' names. You follow me? I mean, she'd name them one by one. And of course, she's somebody out there named Eddie's watching her, you know. But buddy, a little kid, I'll really believe, but she sees me in that mirror, man. Amen. When you're little, man, you buy that stuff. I'm saying pray for one another. Pray for each other individually. I've been spending some time praying for Brother Freddie, especially this week, because he's been so sick. Amen. Lord, just touch everybody in the church that's sick. No, man, make it personal. You know why? Because when you make that prayer for an individual personal, it's hard to be at odds with them when you've been seeking God on their behalf. When you've been on your face begging God to, well, God bless old Stacy. God, please help him. He's off down there in Florida working. Help him not to get off into some sin. God, watch over him. Don't let him wind up in jail. And man, it's hard to get upset at him when I've been earnestly praying for him because I truly love him.
That's right.
Y'all okay? Amen. Every Saturday night, they go to that racetrack. I pray, God, don't let my phone ring. Amen. I just know they're going to go down there and get in a fight and get in jail, and I got to go get them. Amen. I really do. Hey, why don't you try praying for each other? Y'all okay? I mean, really? You said, but preacher, I'm so busy. Yeah, that's why you got so many problems. You're busy with stuff that don't matter. You're busy with stuff that's not eternal. But when it comes to things that does matter and is eternal, you neglect that and let it go. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Over and over, Paul exhorts us to pray for one another. Why? We need your prayer. I need your every night on the prayer line. I close that prayer line with, pray for your preacher and have a great day. Why? Because I want you to pray for me. Amen. When you're going through it, how many of you appreciate somebody praying for you? Woo. Son, that'll get it done right there. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. Y'all got a few minutes tonight? Hebrews chapter number 3. I said number 1, pray for one another. You ought to write these down somewhere. It'll change your life. Hebrews chapter number 3, look at verse number 13. But what? Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Wow. All right, number one, I said pray for one another. Number two, I said exhort one another. That word exhort means to encourage, to comfort, to support, to pick up. How about that? Well, what if we get some Christians in the picking up business instead of the pushing down business? Amen. Amen. You let something go wrong in somebody's life, every one of you wants to put your thumb on somebody's neck, do the very best you can to throw your shovel full of dirt in on the pile. Amen. Christians are the only humans, somebody said, who eat their wounded. That's the truth. Blow your mind how much gossip I get under the guise of a prayer request. Y'all listening? Exhort one another. That means to encourage, to pick up. Sometimes our brethren just need to be picked up. I got a phone call yesterday morning. Sister Stephanie Speck, or Roscoe, up in New York. I could tell she'd been crying. I said, Steph, is everything okay? She said, you need to call Brother Hal, Brother Hal Roscoe, her daddy-in-law. She said they just came in and told him his wife, Brother Chad's mom's got 2 months to live. Boy, it just broke my heart. She's had a lot of health problems for a long time, but I called Brother Hal, and he answered the phone. And I said, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, well, everything's doing pretty good. He said, I got this going on in the church. And this. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, I didn't ask you anything about your church. I said, Brother Hal, how are you doing? He busted out crying. I said, Brother Hal, with a friend, you don't have to put on a facade. You can't carry this load by yourselves. But we like to do that, don't we? We want everybody to think that everything's just cheery and everything's great all the time, when in reality, sometimes we're hurting. I didn't call to hear about his church. I called to see about my friend. And I spent some time trying to encourage. And you know what he said? You know what he said? We just sat there and wept. I could hear him crying. He could hear me crying. I didn't say a whole lot, Brother Freddie. Before I hung up the phone, he said, Brother Eddie, you sure are an encouragement. I said, man, I didn't do nothing but cry, will you? He said, that helped me so much. Amen. Exhort one another. Encourage one another. I wonder how many of you tonight, and I hadn't even done it, I wonder how many of you have come by and said, Sister Stacy, church sure does look good. Thank you for what you do. You okay? Brother Lamar, he ain't here, but Brother Lamar, the grass sure does look good. By the way, he could use some help, too. Amen. Cuts this grass all by himself. Don't charge his church a dime, man. We ought to help him. Amen. But pat him on the back and say, hey, you know what? When you do stuff, and listen, we're serving God, I know that. But when you serve God and it goes unnoticed, the devil will say, they don't appreciate you. I don't care who you are, whether you're the pastor, assistant pastor, deacons, or whether you work a bus route, or whether you vacuum the carpet. It doesn't matter. The devil will sit down on your shoulder and says, why do you do it? Nobody cares anyway. And I know we shouldn't be that way, and we shouldn't let that bother us, but we are human. What I'm saying is every now and then, just a little word of encouragement would go a long, long, long way. White Oak Springs, years ago, I was about to resign my Sunday school class. I taught the teenage Sunday school class. Had 100 in our class. It was awesome. I was about ready to give up. I didn't think I was doing them kids a bit of good. Sunday morning, that day, I was going to quit. As soon as service was over, I was going to Brother Junior Beard and say, I'm done. You need to find a teacher for my class. About halfway through the service, there's people giving testimonies. And Micah Williams stood up in church. Big old tears running down his face. And he said something to the effect, I just don't know what I'd do. I don't know how I could go to a public school every day if it wasn't for what Brother Eddie teaches us in that Sunday school class. Well, I let the little kid stand there testifying, I changed my mind about quitting. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, because a lot of times you think, and I do too, a lot of times I think, God, they ain't getting this. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. It'll go a long way. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We got just a few more to go, so hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12.
I said, pray for one another, encourage one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 25. Verse number 25. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same what? Care one for another. Let me tell you another way to get along. Care about each other. Amen. God's people are supposed to take care of one another. Listen, we are all we have. This world don't love you. This world don't want you. Hey, the presidency could care less whether you live or die. Do you understand that? Your hope is not in politics. What I'm saying is we need each other. You may think you're the Lone Ranger, buddy, but you ain't going far by yourself. We need each other. I need Brother Charles. I need that gray hair and that wisdom that's in that head right there. Amen. I need Brother Freddie and the knowledge of the Word of God that he has. I need you, and you need me, whether you believe it or not. Amen. Maybe you can go down there at Emory, join up with the iPad preacher. I don't care. No, I do care. I don't want you to leave. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying you need me. And I need you. And we're supposed to care about each other. Are y'all listening? I said, we're supposed to care about each other. And I know things get so hectic. Things get so busy. Join the club. Join the club. You know what it takes to care for people? It takes a little sacrifice. It takes a little sacrifice. The devil will say, what are you going to say? I mean, that's the first thing. I was sitting on my porch yesterday morning, and I knew I had to call Brother Roscoe. I've never been told my wife has 2 months to live. How do I help this dear brother? I don't have any advice. I don't know what to say. So it'd be easier just not to call. Come on, can I get a witness? It'd just be easier not to do anything. I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did. I called a couple more preachers. I called Brother Fisher and I called Brother Shirley, and these guys know him real well. I said, hey, you get a chance, how about dropping him a call? He sure is discouraged and he sure could use it. Why? Because I care about him, because he's my friend. Amen. Why have I prayed special extra for Brother Freddie this week? Because I care about him. That isn't all I did. I sent him a text. Is there anything you need? Is there anything I can do? And that wasn't just to make him feel better. It's because I meant it.
That's right.
If he'd have said, come get all six of these kids. I said, let me get back to you. Amen. Well, no, we'd have done whatever he needed to do. Why? Because I care about him.
Amen.
And you know what? I know for a fact if I need something, the same is there for me. You kind of get what you give. You kind of get what you give. You give care, you'll get care. Mark her down. You give attitude. You give selfishness. That's what you're going to get. Amen. I said love one another. Exhort one another. Care for each other. Amen. I said care for each other. To care for somebody, that's an action word, whether you realize it or not. That's not one of those things that you just say in passing, I care about you. No, care works. You ever cared for somebody who was dying? You ever sat with a dying loved one? You get that little sponge and dip it in the water and rub their lips and put ice chips in their mouth. You do everything in the world for them. What are you doing? You're caring for them. Just like Ashley is caring for that, not right now, Nana is caring for that baby. Everything that it needs, she's seeing to. That's what care is. I sure do like it when it turns it around on Jesus. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What are you saying? He's taking care of my every need. Amen? You understand, sometimes I don't care how strong we are spiritually, what our jobs are spiritually. Maybe you'd consider my job to be the biggest job around this place. I'm just a servant. Helping servants is all I am. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get to thinking we're all that and we've arrived. But I'll be honest with you, there's been days that Brother Freddie and I and Brother Charles, we've got together. And there's been days Brother Freddie said, hey man, I ain't doing good. You're just going to have to carry me for a little bit. Same here. Amen.
You know what we do? We just dig up that old song and sing, "Lean on Me." Amen. We're supposed to be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
Amen. I can't be the preacher with the power of God all the time and always a positive attitude and always the right answer. I have bad days too.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I don't do it to many people, but there's a few I'll just blubber and cry on their shoulders. Amen. There's a few preachers that I call. They know if I call, I'm not doing good. They're not a call. They're knowing that when they see my name on the caller ID, they know it's not going to be, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" They know it's not going to be that. I'm surprised they take my call. Thank God somebody cares for me. Amen. Thank God somebody cares for me. I love that old song, "Nobody, no one ever cared for me like Jesus." Amen. Can I give you a couple more? Go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. What did we say so far? Pray for one another. Exhort one another. Care for one another. Now watch this one. You ain't going to like it. But it's in the Bible. I know it's in the King James Bible. May not be, probably ain't in some of them other ones, but it's in this one. And this is the only one I read. Amen? It's the only one I even believe. This verse is tough. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Watch this last statement. In honor, preferring one another. That's pretty heavy. In honor, preferring one another. In other words, I'm to look at your need above my own. Am I getting that right? I'm to look at your need above my own. Preferring one another. I remember the story about the little girl who was like 10 or 11 years old, and if she didn't have an immediate blood transfusion, she was going to die, and the only one in the family who had the same blood type was the little brother. And they went in and told the little brother, said, "The only way your sister can live is she's got to have your blood." The little boy sat there for a few minutes and just paused and just a bewildered look on his face. And finally he said, "Okay, you can have my blood." While they're doing the blood transfusion, the little boy is watching the blood run out of his arm and into the tube. And he looked up to the doctor with a big tear in his eye. And he says, "When do I die?" What he thought was, "I've got to give her my blood and die so she can live." That's preferring one another. Years and years ago, as just a young boy, I think I was just in the seventh grade and going from elementary school to the middle school. You know, that's a big transition, and everything's got to be, you got to have the right clothes, and And I remember my mother sacrificing. She worked two jobs. She went out and bought me. It was one of the first pair of Nike tennis shoes. Y'all remember when they first come out? She bought me a pair of Nike tennis shoes. First day of school was like on Monday. On Wednesday night, we were in church, and I just happened to look down as my mother was in the altar in prayer. As she's knelt in that altar, I looked at the bottom of her shoe, Brother Charles, and there was cardboard coming out the bottom where Mom, her soles were gone on her shoes, and she was putting cardboard down in them shoes. And I looked down at my feet, and there I was with the most expensive, hottest thing going at the time. That's preferring one another. That's preferring one another. Let me show you what else is preferring one another. John, take care of my mama. Mama, go home with John. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Father, into thine hands I commit my spirit. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He preferred us all over himself. By nature, we're greedy. By nature, one of our favorite words is my. Me. Mine. What do I get out of it? What if you get nothing? What did Jesus get out of Calvary? A bunch of dirty, rotten, low-down, hell-deserving sinners.
Yes, sir.
In my opinion, he got nothing. That's a hard concept for this flesh to swallow. Amen. What are you willing to do without that your friend may have? We are to prefer one another. Back to our text tonight, James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. Y'all doing okay? I'm almost done. James chapter number 5. We already hit it, so I won't stay here but just a second. James chapter 5. Verse number 16. What did he say? Confess your faults one to another. If every Christian in this church would make up their mind or would decide to never speak of another's faults, it'd make this place 10 times better. The only fault you should ever speak of, I believe, is your own. I say that again. It's real easy to talk about Rusty. It takes the focus off me. Did you hear what Rusty did? We listen to too much.
Amen.
We listen to too much. There's certain preachers that call me, I don't take their calls. Some of the worst gossips I know are some of God's men. Amen. I could preach the hottest sermon in the world Sunday morning, have 150 people walk the aisle and get born again, and it'd take that years to travel. But I'd cheat on my wife and it'd be all over Facebook tomorrow. Y'all listening? Our nature is to go look. To point out everybody. We got church full of bird dogs. Amen. Pointing at everybody's fault. The Bible said you ought to confess your fault one to another. Didn't say nothing about theirs. Your fault. Amen. Let me teach you two words that will change your life. You already know what they are, don't you? Say it with me. I'm sorry. Did you know usually in every relationship, whether it's husband and wife, church member and staff, whatever the case may be, co-worker and co-worker, there's one who usually says it, always says it first. I'm sorry. You ever apologize to your wife and you didn't know what for? Come on. You say, why are you apologizing? Because you really are sorry that things ain't right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Confess your faults one to another. Hey, listen. If there's something bad, wrong between me and Brother Freddie, and I realize that I've done something to hurt him, and I go to him and say, Brother, would you forgive me? There is no way. Having God in his heart, he's going to look at me and say, forget it. Man, our relationship's going to be sweeter than it was before.
Amen.
Why? Because we can be honest with one another, and we can be real with one another.
Amen.
Amen. I noticed some people hugging and getting some things right the other night when we preached on forgiveness. Brother, that is the way we're going to make it. That is the only way we're going to make it. As long as we're together and we serving God as closely together as we do, we're going to have conflict. You've got to understand that. My wife and I, if we make it to December, be married 28 years. Is that right? 28, yeah. I better get that right. 28 years. 28. You think we've ever had any difficulty? Conflict? No. We've had war. Not me, her. Amen. I mean, brother, it has got on. Hadn't in a long time, hallelujah. It may after the service tonight, but you know what I've had to do? I've had to say, honey, I'm sorry. And you know what? Not 9 times out of 10, when we have it out, it usually is something stupid I did. Usually. I think she is wrong once or twice. But usually it's something stupid I done. Amen. I had a fellow tell me one time, said, good rule to live by, never say I'm sorry. That admits guilt. What did it take for you to get saved? What did it take for your name to be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? What did it take for all your sins to be gone? You had to come to God and be honest and say, hey, here's what I am. I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. Amen. You know what he said? Not no more, you ain't. We're going to call you no more sinner, but saint. Amen. Look what that did for you. And it'll work in every other relationship in life too. Amen. Confess your faults one to another. Just go on and admit it when you do wrong. Just go ahead and Levi, the kid, if he wasn't so stinking honest, they'd have probably had me turned into Family and Children for beating that boy. But it didn't matter what he did. I said, Levi, did you do that? Yes, sir. Normally you don't whoop a kid when they're telling you the truth. Levi, how'd this happen? I done it. I mean, he'd just tell you. He probably lies to Cora, but he told us the truth. Amen. I mean, it didn't matter what went on. Levi, was this you? Yes, sir. Man, I was really wanting to whoop him. Amen. Confess your faults, man. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot easier that way. Amen. John chapter number 4, and I'm done. John chapter number 4. We've hit this one so much the last month. You ought to have it. You ought to have it memorized. John chapter number 4. I got this down wrong. Well, I can't find it. Brother Freddie, find me the commandment that you love one another. It's what? Of chapter 4? Chapter 13. Thank you, brother. What'd you say? 34. 13:34? Yeah. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. Man, I'm telling you how to get along. I said, number one, pray for each other. Exhort one another. Care for one another. Prefer one another. Confess our faults to one another. And then just flat out love each other. There's been days, if she didn't love me like she loved me, Brother Freddie, she'd have hung it up. I can promise you that. There's been days, I mean, there's days she even thought about it. There's been days that she said, if I didn't love you so much, I'd leave. And love will overcome a whole bunch, won't it? How you think makes it work with you and God? Why does he put up with you? And he knows you better than you know you. You ain't got nothing hid from God. You might have something hid from each other, from mom and daddy, something hid from the preacher. You ain't got nothing hid from God. And he still puts up with you. Your name's still written in heaven if you're saved. He ain't wrote you off. He ain't kicked you out of the family. Why? There's only one reason you can come up with. He must really love you. Amen. He must. He must really, really love you. Listen, there are going to be some people. There are going to be some people that I'm inviting to come here Sunday. They're going to have to swallow some pride to walk through those doors. Hardest thing in the world for you to do. Easiest thing to do is backslide. It's easy to get out of church. You miss one Sunday and you think, oh man, this is killing me. That next one's a little bit easier. And the next one's a little bit easier. Easiest thing in the world is to get away from God. Hardest thing in the world is to get back. Amen. People are going to come through that door Sunday. You know what they're going to be worried about? What you're thinking. That's going to be their number one concern, what you're thinking. You ought to let them know what you're thinking. You ought to hit them as they come through the door and say, hey, it sure is good to see you. I love you. Man, I think about you all the time. Amen. You know what'll win them over? Love. Love. Talking about somebody on Facebook won't help them. Y'all all right? That ain't going to help nobody. But boy, you put your arm around them. Tell them you love them. Here's what I always say when I see one that ain't been in a while. Good to have you home. Good to have you home. Love one another. Hope I've given you something tonight. Help you get along with each other. If the Lord tarries, we're going to be serving Him together for a long time. Till Jesus comes. Amen. I'd like not to lose any more along the way. I'd like not have anybody sitting at home mad. I'd like for us to get past that. But we're going to have to grow up a little bit. We're going to have to leave that bottle and get on the meat. Brother Charles, help me with this. Said every preacher must have the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. I like that. Some of you just need to toughen up. Just figure if they're talking about you, somebody else is getting a break. Amen? Let's stand our feet tonight. I'm just going to leave the prayer sheets right here on the Lord's Supper table. Come pick you up your prayer sheet. Let's get in this altar. And just pray till you get done. When you get done, you're dismissed. Brother, y'all got directions and everything. You're good to get back where you were. It's good to have you tonight, brother. Appreciate you.